This morning's scripture is from John's Gospel, chapter 2. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called to the bridegroom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. God's word is life. Thanks be to God.
It's a few years ago now that Bev and I spent the last couple of days of our time in France at the Abbey of Citeaux, a Cistercian monastery just south of Dijon. Located out in the country in one of France's great wine regions, we were generously welcomed, given comfortable rooms to stay in, beautiful meals. The grounds were open for us to wander in and to sit. We were also welcome to share in as much or as little of the daily round of worship in the chapel, 6 or 7 times a day between 4 a.m. and 8 in the evening, the monks gathered to sing and to pray. Well, I think it was on the day when we first just came by for a visit, before we ever knew it was even possible to come and stay for a personal retreat, that we walked the grounds that were open to the public and noticed something imprinted on the outside wall of the chapel. Looking a little closer, we could see this very large circular image carved into the stone or the plaster. You have a picture of it there on the front cover of your bulletin. It wasn't at all obvious at first, but then we started to make out some of the figures. There was a woman in the center, and beside her, a man. And we could see what looked like an earthen vessel. Is this the woman at the well, we wondered. There was another figure, too, that appeared, and we assumed that was Jesus. And then we began reading the words inscribed around the bottom curve. "Fais-tu ce qu'il vous dira." Took us a bit, but between us recalling our high school French, we got it. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Oh, this is the wedding at Cana. So then the figures became that much clearer. That's Jesus' mother in the middle, and that's her hand on the shoulder of one of the servants. He, with his head turned toward her, is listening to her as she's speaking to him. He's holding a large earthen vessel. And then on Mary's other side, there is Jesus, his head bowed, not part of the conversation, except that with Mary's other hand, she's gesturing toward him. In that moment, it was kind of neat, the two of us non-French-speaking people deciphering the meaning of the words and then getting a hold of what we were looking at least on the surface of it. But then in the days that followed, it occurred to me, imagine living in that place with those words and that story so immediately there. Do whatever he tells you. Are you doing what he's telling you? Am I doing what he's telling me? Are we doing what he's telling us? I'm appreciating the way this image carved on the wall brings focus on that particular moment of the story. Such a potent moment. In a sense, that's what the image does. It takes you there, away from the action, away from the limelight of the wedding, to this behind-the-scenes place where a whole other thing is going on, where a crisis has come to light. The wine's run out. Who knows if it's a special connection that Mary has with the wedding couple or the hosting family or just what, but for whatever reason, she's determined this party won't end in disaster. So she turns to her son, who she knows, well, exactly what she sees in him, we're not sure, except that she perceives this capacity for him to help somehow. She doesn't outright tell him what to do, but she does give him a nudge. They have no wine. Jesus responds with firm reluctance, a reluctance to be drawn into it. Why? It's not the right time. My hour has not yet come, we hear him say in the language of John's gospel, as we hear him say plenty more times as the gospel unfolds. The hour, referring to his death and his resurrection. For whatever reason, Mary doesn't leave it there. Is it fear she senses in her son, perhaps? Perhaps the fear of beginning, of stepping out, of claiming the fullness of his potential? Fear of the foreseeable cost, perhaps? But if not now, when? And if not here, where? So she makes this quite beautiful move. She speaks to one of the servants in a way that makes room for Jesus himself to choose if now is the time. Do whatever he tells you, she says. I wonder if you recognize those people in your own life. The ones who along the way have appreciated something about your capacity, what you have to offer, and have helped you, given you the nudge that maybe you've needed to step over that threshold, to let go somehow of holding back, so that you went for it. And in a sense, came into more of who, by God, you are given to be. I wonder who those people have been along the way for you. People who see you. See your potential, who have confidence in you. While Mary's words seem intended for Jesus' overhearing, she's speaking directly to the servant. Do whatever he tells you. I suppose as servants, they're used to people telling them what to do and doing it as though they have no authority of their own. But I wonder if there's a sense here of maybe a different dynamic. What if this isn't Mary playing the heavy? What if this is Mary drawing the servants into the action, calling on their agency to be part of something potentially wondrous? What if this is Mary recalling that day in her home life when her own agency was called upon to be part of something wondrous. So she urges them to listen to Jesus, who they don't know from Adam, as if to say, it's okay. Take him at his word. You can trust him, which they do. As crazy as it seems, how is filling these great jars with water intended for ritual washing, what's this got to do with the wine crisis? As strange and foolish as it seems, they press on. Not only that, they fill those great jars full to the brim. It seems something is happening to them, like they're no longer servants as such, but friends caught up with Jesus in this wild venture, whose outcome is not up to them, and yet it needs them. So now what we have, unbeknown to everyone at the wedding feast, unbeknown even to the chief steward, what we have is wine enough to keep this party going for weeks. And not just any old wine, but the finest even that the chief steward has ever tasted. Wine that will be drawn from vessels that until now have never been used for wine. It's a mark of Jesus' freedom, I think, to imagine these vessels, which have had their long-established purpose, that they could be used for new possibilities, new purposes. So what about the vessels that we are? The vessel that you are, that I am, that this congregation is. Do you know what it is to have experienced a repurposing of your life? Being called into something new, something deeper perhaps, something altogether different? Brings us back to that question, doesn't it? Are we doing whatever he's telling us? And the further question, are we listening? Who are we listening to? And if it was Jesus we wish to hear, how would we do that? It's one of the reasons we gather like we do, gathering around these stories that show us his way, tell us his moves, capture his voice. When we've heard his voice there, we can recognize it elsewhere. One last thing about this image on the monastery wall where Jesus, Mary, and the servant are carved within this circle. If you look closely, you can see Jesus' right foot extending beyond the circle, outside the circle, toward us. As if to say, not just here in Cana with these people, but I am where you are now. I'm with you. And this too is the time for the miracle of transformation. Think of life as a feast of faithful love. Amen, I say to you, Jesus says to us. Life is a feast of faithful love, where the power of God's love is filling up and spilling over endlessly, abundantly. Surely you don't want to miss it. Go ahead, he says. Listen to me. Do what I tell you, knowing it will be enough, knowing that you are enough, more than enough. Step out with me into this flow. Taste and see, won't you, that God is good.